News with Nick, August 6th, 2020. Every time I start a show, I start the show and then I panic and my eyeballs go to the bottom right of the screen and go, what is the date? And as the live listeners or the regular listeners of the show probably know, that many times I have just said the wrong day or the wrong year. Sometimes I'm listening back to a show and I completely said the wrong month or day or year and I don't even correct it. Or in the past, I've even posted shows that have the wrong date on it. Or I set a date that's different than the title of the show. What a mess. Does anyone know how to do anything accurately around here? I don't feel ready at all. I think we're good. So when I was a kid, I was part of like the video production camp or whatever. I don't know. So one day we all went and we were going to take a trip and we're going to tour the news station in Boston or whatever, or the next big city. So we head on over there. We sit in the studio and they're going to do the morning news. And right before the morning news, they're like, we got 10 seconds before we go on the air. And by the way, there's breaking news or something. They're like yelling it to the co-host on the show. And this lady's like, I have no info. I've got nothing. I don't know what to say. And they're running papers over to her. I'm like, wow, it's like a real movie. Like, we're going live in 5 seconds. Run me the breaking news quick so I can read it on the air. And they go, I got nothing. I got nothing. 5, 4. I don't know what to say. 2, I'm literally naked. 1, and hello, welcome to the news. It's me, the lady. Next to me is the man. And I go, wow, that was crazy. And then later I realize they're just reading from a teleprompter anyway. What the hell do they have to be concerned about? I don't have a teleprompter. I've only got a telebrainer. I got to make this all up as I go. So if I'm not ready, we're all going to suffer. That lady was just playing it up because the kids were in the room and she wanted us to think that she had some cool, crazy job where if she doesn't get it together in the next 2 seconds, the entire news is going to be ruined and she's going to go live and not have any idea what's going on. Never going to happen. Everything was right in front of her on a teleprompter. She needed no pieces of paper. Do they even read those pieces of paper? What is that? What are those pieces of paper on the news things even for? Does anyone even know how the news works? All right, let's get into it. First, so I came home today and I was going to get ready for the news and I walk into the house and like the window is covered in flies. There's like 15 to 20 flies in my house. And like, what the heck? I pull up the curtain and they all fly out. It's like a video game where you like open the wrong chest and bees come out instead of like treasure. Like, what is going on? I think that these flies are probably breeding inside the bodies of dead chipmunks in my walls. And I think I killed like 15 flies. I live like a poor person. You would have no clue how high Bitcoin is based on how I live. You guys seen Bitcoin this past week? It's gone way up. So it's silver and gold. Silver at its highest performing mark since like 1979 or something. It's on a run. Remember back in the day when we were all into silver? It's like, wow, silver's going to be the next big thing. It's going up. It's going to go to $200, $300, $400 an ounce. So silver hits $48 an ounce. And I'm like, oh my God, it's going to keep going up. I got to buy some of this silver. And 48 was like the peak, and then it crashed. Same thing with Bitcoin. It went up to $48 a Bitcoin, and I was like, holy shit, I got to buy some of this Bitcoin. This will probably go like the silver went. So, it was fine. Anyway, Chess, it sounds like a fly laid some eggs. How many eggs can one fly lay? Do not look that up. I don't want to know. It's probably 2 billion. I'm probably going to open my wall one day and it's just a chipmunk and it's just a whole thing of fly. I'm sure that there's fly nests in the wall. I don't know. Who cares? Does it even matter anymore? We had a hurricane the other day. I was hoping the house would blow down, but I had to instead just drive home from work and then I'm almost home. Instead, all I get is to a road with 4 cones across the street and a cop, and past the cop is a tree. Completely across the road. You can see it on the Portman Show page. I posted the image as part of the intro to this show, or the announcement, I guess, that I was going to go live, right? So most people are just turning around like real losers. I got to go get a photo of this. So I park my car and I walk past the cop. He doesn't care. He just glances at me like crazy person walking in the rain to take a picture of a tree. Yeah. People's got to know. Can't get home. Had to go the long way. All right. Our favorite guy. No, not Martin Shkreli. He's not in the news. But our second fit. Nah. Martin Shkreli might be our second favorite. So our favorite guy is in the news this week. Court overturns the Boston Marathon bomber's death sentence. The judges who oversaw the case, a federal appeals court Friday threw out the death sentence for the Boston Marathon bombing guy, kid, whatever, saying the judge who oversaw the case did not adequately screen jurors for potential biases. I wonder what it was. I didn't read the thing. So let's see what they say here in this article. We probably won't even read it. A three-judge panel of the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ordered a new penalty phase trial on whether the 27-year-old Sarnov would be executed for the attack that killed three people and wounded more than 260 others. Make no mistake, Dzhokhar will spend his remaining days locked up in a prison, with the only matter remaining of whether he will die by execution. Judge something Thompson wrote in a ruling more than 6 months after arguments were heard in the case. Wow. An attorney for Sarnov said they are grateful for the court's straightforward and fair decision. If the government wishes to put someone to death, it must make its case to a fairly selected jury that has provided all relevant information. It is now up to the government to determine whether to put the victims in Boston through a second trial or to allow closure to this terrible tragedy by permitting a sentence of life without the possibility of release. It is kind of weird, right? Their choice is to go back to court and say, come on, kill him, please. Can you please kill him? Can you please vote to kill him? Seems a little strange. I don't like that we have this. People like take it as like they're being light on him. And then I guess other people are like, yeah, I'd rather die than spend my whole life in prison. Well, I don't know. I've never died nor been to prison, so I can't even compare. Patricia Campbell told the Boston Globe, the mother of Crystal Campbell, one of the victims, I don't understand it. It's just terrible that he's allowed to live his life. It's unfair. He didn't wake up one morning and decide to do what he did. He planned it out. He did a vicious, ugly thing. Sarnov's lawyers acknowledged at the beginning of his trial that he and his older brother, Tamberlin, set off the two bombs at the marathon finish line. But they argued that Sarnov is less culpable than his brother. This guy's name changes every Dzhokhar. Oh, no. I guess it stayed the same here. Dzhokhar. Right? Obviously, there's a way to pronounce this. And if it's my favorite guy, I probably should know how to pronounce it. But I thought they just called him Jahar. Whatever. They said this guy's less culpable than his brother, who they said was the mastermind behind the attack. It is kind of interesting as well. Like, if you're a dumb kid and you're raised by your older brother to do something horrible, what if you're like 10? So what if you're 10 and you set off a bomb and you go, nah, my 20-year-old brother told me to do it. But what if from the time you're 10 to the time you're 18, your brother trains you to be the expert bomber? And he tells you that this is the right thing to do. And then by the time you turn 18, you do it. Should you really be in jail? I don't know. Yeah, obviously, like, what's the other choice? Is there any, like, precedent for a grown person being let go because they were like, oh, yeah, I guess he was under the influence of another person. Probably the DC sniper is the closest one I can think of. But that was famous. A lot of stuff happens that's not famous that you don't hear about. Anyway, that happened. So we'll keep an eye on this. We'll see if he ends up going back to trial. That would be pretty fun. But I don't know. It's just going to be rehashed again. This story's a little old at this point. Oh, well, whatever. You guys see, a couple days ago, we had back-to-back amazing interviews. So first, we've got Trump. He talked to a guy from Axios, and it was a 34-minute interview or whatever that got published on HBO. So the highlights or that he's like holding a bunch of graphs from Microsoft Excel and shoving them in this guy's face about Corona. Let's take a listen.
Take a look at some of these charts.
I'd love to.
We're going to look.
Let's look.
And if you look at death.
Yeah.
Oh, he's shuffling paper like those people in the newsroom. I got paper. I got paper.
Started to go up again.
One. Well, right here. The United States is low.
If you zoom in on this chart, it's just like a bunch of lines. It's hard to tell what it is.
We're lower than the world.
Lower than
we're
the
lower
world.
Than
what is that?
Europe.
In
take
what? In what?
Take a look.
He's just saying words. We're lower than the world. And the interviewer says, lower than what?
Right here.
He's shuffling there's more papers.
Death. Oh, you're doing death as a proportion of cases. I'm talking about death as a proportion of population. That's where the U.S. is really bad.
Well,
much worse than South Korea, Germany, etc.
You can't do that. You have
why
to go,
can't I do that?
You have to go by where. Look, here is the United States. You have to go by the cases. The cases.
Why not
death.
As a proportion
when
of population?
When you have somebody, what it says is when you have somebody that
yeah.
has where there's a case.
Oh, okay.
The people that live
sure.
from
oh.
those cases.
It's surely a relevant statistic to say if the U.S. has X population and X percentage of death of that population
no,
versus
because
South
you have
Korea.
To go by the cases.
Well, look at South Korea, for example, 51 million population.
So Trump is shoving some graphs in this guy's face that says, out of all cases, the U.S. of corona, the U.S. has the lowest deaths. Okay. And then this guy's saying, but out of the population, we have a lot more deaths. And Trump says that doesn't matter. Like, because the death rate is low here. That means one of, let's say the numbers are right, which they're not. They're never going to be right. I guess that just means we have better care once you already get corona, which fine, if that's truly the case, that's good. But it's very funny. The one guy is saying one thing and Trump just keeps saying, no, 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 you have to go by cases. How many cases are there and how many deaths? Which, kinda, if you think about it, way back in the day when they kept touting 1-2% fatality rate, take the cases divided by the inverse of the deaths, and it's gonna then that's 1-2%. But yeah, when you test more, you find out it's not really 1-2%. So fine, that I guess proves that those original claims were not very accurate, but also it really has nothing to do with how the U.S. is responding to the thing. Let's see if there's any more funny information.
300 deaths. It's like it's
you,
crazy.
You don't
compared
know
to
that.
I do. It's
you
on
don't
the,
know
it's,
that.
You think they're faking their statistics? South Korea? An
I won't
advanced
get into
country?
That because I have a very good relationship
yeah.
with the country. But you don't know that.
Wait. 1,000 Americans are dying a day. But I understand. I understand on cases, it's different.
No, but you're not reporting it correctly, Jonathan.
I think I am, but it's been widely reported that the U.S. has intelligence indicating that Russia paid bounties.
Ooh, this is a new, completely new subject. Let's see what Trump has to say about this.
Offered to pay bounties to Taliban fighters to kill American right. soldiers. Mm-hmm. You had a phone call with Vladimir Putin on July 23rd. Did you bring up this issue?
No, that was a phone call to discuss other things.
And you've never discussed it with him?
I have never discussed it with him, no. I would. I'd have no problem with it.
But you don't believe
you know,
the intelligence.
It
it's because you don't believe the intelligence. That's why.
It never reached my
okay.
desk. You know why? Because they didn't think it was intelligence. They didn't think it was real.
It was
they
in your written brief, though.
Oh, you talked to Putin and you didn't bring up the thing? You don't got to bring up everything with every person, right? Say you're walking down the hall at work. You send an email earlier in the day. And the person hasn't responded to the email. They'll get to it. You don't have to, like, grab them in the hall on their way to the BR. That's what we call the bathroom. It's a dirty word. On the way to the PR, you do not have to interrupt them and go, hey, Joe, you get my email? Can you respond to that? Because that's a pretty important email. No. Shut up. One topic at a time, not on the way to the R. R. All right. And then we had this hilarious interview from Trump. And then one day later, we have a new interview from Biden where he has like a conversation about this cognitive test that Trump keeps taking and passing or whatever. I don't know how many times you got to take it. So like every morning, like, are you still cognitive enough to get into the White House? Instead of the temperature screening, Trump has to pass a little brain scan every day at the door.
Mr. Vice President, your opponent in this election, President Trump, has made your mental state a campaign topic. And when asked in June if you'd been tested for cognitive decline, you've responded that you're constantly tested in effect because you're in situations like this on the campaign trail.
So did he say that in June? Does anyone have a link of that? I don't. But I guess we're just going to take his word for it that Biden has in the past claimed that he took the cognitive test.
Because you're in situations like this on the campaign trail. But please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President...
That is a little confusing. Let's listen to that again. That's like saying, before you go into a program, do you take a test or not, whether or not you're taking cocaine? Is what he's saying, I'm trying to give him the benefit of what he's saying, is he saying, like, that's the dumbest test you would ever take? Like, before you go into some program? I don't know what kind of program you'd be going into, like a kid's sporting event? I don't know. Then you take a test that's completely off the charts stupid, like, are you on cocaine?
Oh, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There can be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental my physical as well as my mental fitness.
Oh, my God.
And
freaking embarrassing, you know, to mess up that sentence. We have to go back. And second of all, physical fitness. If we have an obstacle course, that would be the best.
As well as my mental fitness and to make a judgment about who I am.
Oh, my goodness. We have to vote for Biden. It's going to be the funniest. This is so great. This is amazing. I cannot wait for a debate to occur. I think that the Biden campaign is probably trying not to have debates. They're trying to be like, and this is like a stolen idea, right? They're trying to have Trump, quote, run against the virus, right? And hoping that the virus will win it for Biden and say, well, the virus is so bad that people have to vote against Trump. I don't know. This is crazy. This is going to be amazing. The chat says that listening to Biden makes me feel like my brain doesn't work anymore. I don't know. I don't know what to say. All right. So the cognitive test they're actually talking about, I got a version of it. And this is really the only version that's been released that I know of. You're supposed to draw like pattern recognition, like 1A. 2B, 3C, like recognize that there's a certain pattern to a line being drawn. And then the fact that he says lion and elephant is actually relevant to one of the sections of the test where you're supposed to show the test taker a picture of an animal. And like a three-year-old, it's the test taker is supposed to answer back the name of the animal, right? What if they answered back like the scientific term and the test taker was like, no, 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 that's not right. But what if it's super right? What if you get like more point, like extra credit on that one? You guys that love extra credit when you get questions wrong on the regular test and then you go to the extra credit section and one of the questions is, what's the professor's name? And you go, ooh, well, guess I'm not getting that extra credit. So this is the cognitive test. You have to draw a clock. You have to like remember a bunch of words in order and then recite them back in order 10 minutes later, like face, velvet, church, daisy, red, whatever. But apparently Trump takes it like every morning at the door of the White House, so whatever. All right, let's move on in the news. How long have we been recording? Way too long. Moving on in the news. Charges are pending for a man who is accused of kneeling on a child's neck in a social media photo. The man, who deputies identified as Isaiah Jackson, has been booked to the Clark County Jail on probation violation and remains in jail Wednesday afternoon, according to online jail records. Sheriff's office said the case against Jackson was presented to the prosecutor's office, who will provide a determination on the scope and breadth of felony charges. Deputies said an investigation was launched Tuesday after they were made aware of the photo, which shows a man with his knee on the back of a child's neck. The child appears to be crying in the photo, while a second person holds the child's hand behind their back. They're just reenacting you know what. The photos of the caption reads, BLM now. So if we scroll down here, we can see the photo. And it's on Insta, or is it Snapchat? Where they have the little banner that's gray and you can put white text on it. So this guy is kneeling, kind of. It's the kid's face is blurred out, so you can't really see it. So let's just assume, right? We love to assume around here, that the guy's knee is sort of on the kid's head. And then someone else off frame, all you can see is an arm, is holding the kid's hands behind his back. And the caption says BLM now, as in Black Lives Matter now, right? What? Why? First of all, how does he have such nice abs? And how do I get those? Second, they were like, hey, hold the kid down. I'm going to kneel on his neck and we're going to Snapchat it. It's going to be amazing. Let's see if there's any info in this video. I sound like talking.
Investigating a case of a man apparently putting his knee on a young child's neck.
A photo of the act has been shared all over social media, and we will warn you, some details and images in this story may be disturbing.
I knew at 6, News Center 7, Sean Cuddy is live in Clark County. Sean, no charges in this case, but deputies do have a man in jail.
Thank God.
Oh, yeah, sure, James, deputies caught up with this guy. And
why is he outside? What? Why does it matter that the reporter's outside? He's not in a mask, though. You guys ever watch the news and you go, okay, there's a guy outside in a mask, and now this guy's not in a mask. So what do we do? What do we do? Protest? All right, let's see. Why is this guy outside for the story of the man with his knee resting very gently and massaging an infant's forehead so that he'll fall asleep and then wake up again in the morning? I wasn't trying to be weird.
Yeah, Cheryl and James, deputies caught up with this guy at this Clark County apartment complex right here. No formal charges right now, but prosecutors are now involved and charges could be on the way. In the disturbing photo shared all over social media, the man is placing his knee on the neck of what appears to be just a toddler who appears to be crying, although News Center 7 is blurring parts of the image. A caption of the photo says, BLM now. It appears to be some sort of reference to the tactic used by a police officer in Minnesota in May that killed George Floyd. You can hear on radio traffic as dispatcher sent deputies out today to check on the child.
There was a picture posted on Facebook last night of a baby on the ground and a black male holding the baby down, another male with his knee on the baby's neck.
The investigation led the Clark County Sheriff's Office to this apartment building on Twitchell Road. A man here taken into custody on a probation violation.
Oops.
Deputies tell me prosecutors are looking...
Wait, there was just violation. A B-roll shot of a ball. It's just a B-roll shot of a ball you would get at recess. What is this? What is the news? This is great. I love this show.
Deputies tell me prosecutors are looking to see what they might be able to charge the man with.
What?
Deputies telling News Center...
Wait! Wait! Did you hear that? They arrested him, and then they said, we're trying to figure out what we can charge him with. This is America. Oh my God, we have to listen to that again.
Deputies tell me prosecutors are looking to see what they might be able to charge the man with. Deputies telling News Center 7, at this point, we are actively looking into it, and we are very early on into this investigation.
Unbelievable.
And we are expecting to learn more from deputies tomorrow. I have the name of the man taken into custody with this in connection with this case. He's in the Clark County Jail right
now. Nobody cares. He's reading his phone.
Hold off on releasing his name.
Nobody cares. We have his name. It doesn't matter. That was interesting. First of all, notice that they keep saying he got arrested on a probation violation. Like, okay, the terms of your probation, no drinking, no smoking pots, no injecting drugs, no putting your knee on the back of a kid while another person holds him down and Snapchatting it. Good thing, man, he couldn't get through the first three, but the first three, but the last one there couldn't hold back and he had to get arrested on a probation violation. They arrested, so he's on probation, right? So they go, that must be some violation. That's insane. Let's arrest him and then we'll look into why we're going to charge him. I feel like the chat should be more upset about this than they are. This is insane. All right, we're going to read. No, we're not. Blah, blah, blah. The male was determined to have a parole authority holder from the Ohio Department. Blah, 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 blah. He was taken into custody and incarcerated. The child was taken to the local hospital for an examination where he was found to have no injuries. The kid's fine. He probably was even asking for it. It's probably like, this is going to be funny. Anyway, speaking of people doing dumb stuff, allegedly, Dunkin' Donuts employee charged with spitting in a state trooper's. I got to get another drink. State trooper's coffee. So right before this show, I was doing some lunch prep. And I was like, oh, while I'm lunch prepping, I should grab some dinner, right? And then go do the show. And then I got, no. Don't eat. We're going to do the Andrew version of productivity where you deprive your body of all of its biological needs. Wink. Before you have to do anything, because the body then goes, I'm hungry, I have other needs, I need to keep working, I gotta get this resolved. But then once you eat, your body goes, oh, I'm full, I can rest. This is why people sleep after eating or get less productive, right? The body subconsciously says, oh, my needs are taken care of, no need to work anymore. But if you starve yourself and then do a show, you're even more on. So I didn't eat, but I did have a drink. So it feels different than normal. An employee at the Garfield Ridge neighborhood, Dunkin' Donuts, stood charged Saturday with spitting in an Illinois state trooper's coffee. Vincent Sessler, he's 25, of Chicago, was arrested on Friday and charged with disorderly conduct, reckless conduct, and battery to a peace officer, ooh, according to the Illinois State Police. Around 10:20 p.m. Thursday, a state police district Chicago trooper stopped at the Dunkin' Donuts for a large cup of black coffee. Wow, that's not appropriate for police to be doing. State police said the coffee was extremely hot, and when the trooper took the lid off to cool it down, he noticed a large, thick piece of mucus and was later confirmed to be saliva floating in it. Wait, how? He took it to forensics? An investigation led to the arrest of Sessler, a Dunkin' Donuts employee. He was apprehended at 12:49 p.m. by District Chicago troopers. Are we saying, is this a typo? He was arrested the next day at noon, but he was working the previous day at 10:20? I don't think so. Checkmate, police. Just kidding. If you work at Dunkin' Donuts, you probably work 16-hour shifts back-to-back. This is outrageous and disgusting. The men and women of the Illinois State Police have put their heart and soul into protecting the lives and rights of all people in this state every day. The ISP, which I assume is the police, director, Brendan Kelly, said in a news release, they deserve better than this insulting and dangerous treatment. For their safety, state troopers will no longer be patronizing that Dunkin' Donuts. So first of all, a Dunkin' Donuts coffee was extremely hot. Okay, that is evidence number one that this is a fake news story. Why did you, why did you open the coffee and spit in it yourself to frame a man? And the cop's going to say, I don't know, it was extremely hot, so I had to cool it off. No one has ever gone to Dunkin' Donuts and the coffee's been hot. So checkmate again. I did actually hear that there might be surveillance footage of this kid spitting in the coffee, but I was unable to confirm that in the 20 minutes I had before this show, so I don't know. Though, in my Googling, I did find that he started a GoFundMe. Organizer, Vincent Sessler. The title, Vincent Sessler, Police Brutality Support. $30 raised, and it says this fundraiser is no longer accepting donations. It got deactivated by GoFundMe. Can't believe it. So I clicked the contact button down here where you can contact the guy, and I did type in, please contact me, nick@newswithnick.com. We want to interview you. So we'll see what happens. I don't think anything's going to come of it. Ghislaine Maxwell, or is it Ghislaine? I don't even remember how to pronounce it. I think it's Ghislaine Maxwell, who is the secret girlfriend of Jeffrey Epstein or whatever, who got a bunch of girls down at the bar and said, hey, want to come to a sweet island and give an old man a massage? And they were like, yeah, let's go. She was like, all right, we're going, right? She got arrested in New Hampshire. She was Walter Whiting it, right? They were like, oh, she's at a secret location in Bradford, New Hampshire, that she bought a house under a shell corporation and was living there for months. And like an hour from here, FBI pulls up and's like, come on, you're coming with us. And she's like, fine. They found her. Her like phone was wrapped in foil. I'm not making this up, right? So she goes to jail. They released a whole bunch of documents this past week, which we're not going to read. There's some graphic stuff in there, right? The stuff that that girl Virginia is saying happened at the island, right? Ghislaine Maxwell's ex-military lover Scott Borgerson told police he would apply level 4 use of force that includes tasing, pepper spray, and neck holds on any intruder who dared to come near the $2.4 million mansion they shared. I only like the headline because it said the word level 4, and I was like, wow, how many levels of force are there? I didn't even look that up. Level 4 seems like it'd be really funny. Maxwell's lover told his local police department he would use a level of force associated with tasers and non-lethal munitions to stop intruders at the home he shared with her. Scott Borgerson wrote to the chief of police in Manchester-by-the-Sea in Massachusetts after journalists knocked the door of the $2.4 million mansion last August. Knocked on the door, I guess this is supposed to say. He said in this email, I'm thinking of level 4 use of force if he found an intruder, a law enforcement term used to denote the use of taser, pulling hair, and pepper spray. Maybe I've said this before, but taser, pepper spray, and then just in there is just pulling hair? Okay. This is why I shave every part of me so they can't use level 4 force on me as easily. It also covers canine bites, strikes to the head, and neck holds. In the letter, Borgerson said that some of his military and intelligence friends would be house-sitting while he was away with his family. Until then, he would begin physical patrols of my property on a random and rotating schedule. So I've looked into this. When he wrote this email to them, he was only talking about himself. He wasn't like, hey, it's me and Ghislaine Maxwell. We're hanging out. He'd like written an email by himself and said, I'm kind of famous and people are around here and I'm rich. What am I allowed to do? And he warned the police, I'm going to use level 4 use of force if anyone comes by. I'm starting physical patrols of my property today on a random and rotating schedule, he said. So, this seems like a non-story. Oh, hey, we got more levels, though. Level 5 would include chokeholds. Chokeholds? What's everyone's obsession with chokeholds? And first of all, George Floyd didn't even die of a chokehold. And then everyone's like, ban chokeholds. No. He died of kneeling, and then everyone's like, let's kneel in his honor. They added more kneeling. It seems like the wrong thing to do. And level 6 is the highest, would be deadly force, like deploying firearms. Yeah? What about nuclear explosions? What level of force is that? Huh? Police? Chat says, level 1 use of force is where you just shout poop jokes at them. Not funny. All right. Following the TikTok ban, Trump says he's going to crack down on the Chinese software in the coming days. This was 3 days ago. Has there been a crackdown? We'll find out. Let's see. Pompeo said that popular video app TikTok was among those feeding data directly to the Chinese Communist Party. His comments came days after Mr. Trump said he was planning on banning TikTok in the U.S. So Trump basically goes out and says, yeah, we're going to ban TikTok. Can Trump even ban TikTok? If you're the president, can you just be like, nope, this website out, this website out, this website in, this website out? Because if so, that's a little alarming. Not that I'm saying that they couldn't do it. We obviously know from the past 4 months that they can do a lot of stuff that we didn't think they could do. Or some of us thought they could do it, but a lot of people were like, they can't just tell you not to go to work. Right? It's America. All you got to do is claim that the Chinese are coming for you and you can do anything. Speaking to Fox News Channel, Mr. Pompeo said the action would be taken with respect to a broad array of national security risks and are presented by software connected to the Chinese Communist Party. He said there were countless companies doing business in the U.S. that might be passing information to the Chinese government. Okay. Data could include facial recognition patterns. So say you're on TikTok, you take video of yourself, it goes to China. Okay. Addresses, phone numbers, and contacts, so information used to sign up for the app. So the Chinese government could be collecting, probably is, information on U.S. citizens. Who cares? So we're supposed to say, okay, we only want companies to collect data on us if it's the U.S. government. I'd rather, kinda, the Chinese had it. What are they going to do? Come over here and arrest me for being rude? No. America will, though. Mr. Trump has said enough and we're going to fix it. Mr. Trump told reporters on Friday he planned to sign an executive order to ban TikTok in the U.S., where it has up to 80 million active monthly users. That's insane. Several Republican senators have backed a plan by ByteDance to divest the U.S. operations. What's ByteDance? All right, let's head on over to Wikipedia. So we can learn what TikTok really is. That's a Chinese video sharing social networking service owned by ByteDance, a Beijing-based internet technology company founded in 2020. So it's like the new Musical.ly, right? You just dance for 10 to 20 seconds, and then you post a video, and then you get 1,000 followers, and then you sign a makeup agreement, and then you put makeup on, and you say, buy my makeup, buy my nail polish, and then you make like, I don't know, $100,000 a day. Right. Here are the national security concerns in January 2019. An investigation. This is a while ago. An investigation by the American think tank Peterson Institute for International Economics. Oh, why do people have to have such long names? Can't you just be like, we think about stuff? Three guys and a tank. We're called the think tank. Describe TikTok as a Huawei. Huawei. Oh, boy. Nick doesn't know how to pronounce a major city in China. Huawei-sized problem that posed a national security threat to the West, noting the app's popularity with Western users. They included armed forces personnel and its alleged ability to convey location, image, and biometric data to its Chinese parent company. I guess if you're in the army and you're like, let's do a dance. We're going to do a dance at the secret base called Area 52. And then China gets it. And they go, what the hell? What are all these military guys doing in this secret location we haven't even mapped? Right? They just put it on their map like Battleship and go, ooh, the Americans are there. All right. So this basically seems to, specifics aside, this basically seems to boil down to, we don't want our data going to China, but it's okay if it goes to Facebook or Instagram or, well, which is owned by Facebook, right? I don't even remember. Or Twitter or any of these, or Google. That's okay. But because it's going to China, we're going to say, no, 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 it's banned. I guess, well, I will be shocked if this happens, right? But it will be very scary. Speaking of China, have you guys heard of the brushing scam? Let's see what this video has to say.
basically packaged to look like they're going to be jewelry, but they are seeds in.
Lately, more people have reported
receiving packages
that they didn't order.
Sorry about that. Another messed up intro to the next segment, folks. Why are seeds from China mysteriously showing up in thousands of people's mailboxes across the country? Is it some kind of plot? Sort of. While the practice is under investigation, the U.S. Department of Agriculture officials said in a statement, they have no reason to believe it is anything other than a brushing scam, a ploy to boost online sales by salting retail websites with glowing product reviews. So this went over the news this past week because it's funny if you open your mail and then you find a bunch of seeds, because it's like not like just a folded up piece of paper, or it's not like a cheap necklace from the dollar store. But apparently the scam is that people will post a product on Amazon, they will buy their own product and ship it somewhere, but they're not really buying the product, they're buying something stupid, they're shipping something stupid cheap, like seeds. So they have to confirm that the shipment went through, and then they can review themselves on the website, and so they can post 5-star reviews and go, wow, that was an amazing product, I love that product, and then other people will buy it because it has fake reviews. So this funny show does a super cheesy intro where they play nice music and there's two ladies sitting in a fake living room on TV and they talk about the scam.
Lately, more people have reported receiving packages that they didn't order. Along with packages from Amazon, some people have been receiving mysterious seeds from China. Both are part of what's known as a brushing scam. Jesse Schmidt is the director of the Better Business Bureau South Dakota, and she's joining us today to tell us more about what a brushing scam is and what to do if you become a victim. Welcome, Jesse.
Thank you.
Now,
can you imagine thinking you're a victim of anything? No. You go to the mailbox, you get your seeds, you go, oh, Joe, we're a victim. We've become a victim of the brushing scam. Is there anything, like, I would just throw the seeds in the trash. Then they'll go to the landfill and grow into secret Chinese spy plants.
I saw a friend post about this, and that's the first I have ever heard of a brushing scam or Amazon having anything to do with this. But
yeah, China really screwed up here by sending seeds. We all thought it was funny and like a secret plot to grow plants. And they were like, no, it's not. We were just trying to send some junk. We sent seeds this time. And now it's funny, so everyone kept looking it up. So now we all know what brushing scams are. Ha! Checkmate, China.
But what is a brushing scam?
Sure. Well, that's exactly right. You get these unordered items show up on your doorstep from Amazon or a third-party shipper, and you think, well, great, what could possibly be the matter with that? But again, there are some things to be aware of if these strange packages show up on your doorstep.
All right, let's find out.
And it's pretty weird and odd items.
Yes. So dehumidifiers, back scratchers.
What? I want one of those.
Ping pong balls, and of course these seeds, things that are very lightweight and inexpensive to ship.
How is a dehumidifier lightweight? Those things are
my
expensive.
My friend received a tongue scraper and a pair of medical scissors in her box.
Well, what everybody needs, right?
A tongue scraper.
Yes.
Who thought? Never tried.
Yeah.
One of those before.
This sounds like the best thing to be a victim of. You get like free stuff. All right. Enough of this. Everyone go check your mailbox for brushing. Is there a site that we can sign up for to be a victim of the brushing scam? I'll take free stuff. You review something in your stupid Chinese store. We all win, except for the sweatshop workers and the people who buy your fake product later on. But, you know, we like to push our real victims down the road. Kalamazoo County Sheriff directs his detectives to investigate a message calling him fat. This is a couple weeks old. A West Michigan sheriff sent detectives to investigate a Facebook message he received calling him fat. The incident report obtained by News Channel 6 revealed that the Kalamazoo County Sheriff Richard Fuller, oh, he's full because he's fat, directed his investigators to the home of the man accused of sending the message. While no crime occurred, we arrested him and decided what we were going to try to charge with him, but later. What? That's not really what it says. Well, no crime occurred. The report showed Fuller sent detectives, not deputies. What's the difference? I'm just a deputy. I don't know. To talk to the man accused of sending the sheriff a Facebook message. The message said, "You're a fat ass who needs to go on a diet. Stop us from living. Come get me if you want me to. You want me tubby as fat bitch." Actually, I guessed at the last word. It's B dash 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 dash. It's got to be bitch, right? The report showed the sheriff took the message as threatening in nature and showed Fuller requested his employees to make contact with the sender and warn against any threatening posts in the future. All right, we're going to read the report here. On April 6th, 2020, Sheriff Richard Fuller contacted me, and this is written by a detective, or lieutenant at least, contacted me regarding a social media made to his Facebook page that he took as threatening in nature. The poster used the name Black Box. It's not really Black Box, it's just redacted in this report. Sheriff Fuller requested contact be made with this individual and he be warned against any future threatening posts. Suspect identification means using I, leads, and SOS records. Don't know what that means. That must be police speak. We don't understand, you guys. The person was identified as Black Box, residing at another Black Box in Michigan. Here's what we did. Johnson and Denon contacted the Black Box at his residence. They advised Black Box, denied making the post. Oh, and claimed his Facebook profile was hacked by an unknown person. Black Box was warned about making any future posts that may be threatening in nature. While he still had constitutional rights to free speech, he should be cautious about posts that are threats. That wasn't a threat. You're a fat ass who needs to go on a diet. Stop us from living. Come get me if you want me, tubby as fat bitch. That doesn't make any sense. I can't think of another word that makes sense here. And even if it was any word, I don't understand the message. However, you would think that this guy is dumb. He was smart enough to deny having done it. Deny, deny, deny. If they can't prove it, you deny. Or you just say, am I being detained? And then you run in circles or away. Or you say nothing, right? Here's an interesting story. YouTube prank stars the Stocky Twins? I saw this today. Charged with felony after a fake bank robbery video. Alan and Alex Stockis, 23-year-old twin brothers, known for posting prank videos to YouTube under their channel, the Stockis Twins. I'm sorry that I'm pronouncing it wrong, okay? I'm not good at talking. It's not my best thing. I don't know why I have a website where I talk. They've been charged with a felony related to a fake bank robbery, the aftermath of which the brothers recorded and posted to YouTube. So if you click the link, the video is actually down, and I don't know where to find a copy of it. As part of the prank, the two brothers falsely presented themselves as criminals to an Uber driver and other random bystanders who they then implored to give them clothes, rides, and other forms of assistance in a way that South California authorities say broke the law. These were not pranks. These were crimes that could have resulted in someone getting seriously injured or even killed, the Orange County District Attorney said in a statement. Law enforcement officers are sworn to protect the public, and when someone calls 911 to report an active bank robbery, they're going to respond to protect lives. Instead, what they found was some kind of twisted attempt to gain more popularity on the internet by unnecessarily putting members of the public and police officers in danger. Okay, so I guess it'd be better if we had a copy of the video. The video shows the brothers at one point explaining the prank to a police officer who tells them that more than a dozen officers were called to the scene over what was ultimately a false report of on-the-run criminals. Is it really false, though? If you go up to a person, you're like, I'm robbing the bank, I'm a criminal, give me all your clothes, give me all your money. And the cops come and they go, no, we're just recording it for YouTube. It's like prostitution. It's you can't pay someone to have sex, but if you film it, then it's pornography and it's legal again, right? If you film your bank robbery, it's just for YouTube and it's a prank. The police say blah, 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 blah. They don't know. They say a bunch of stuff about this is a dumb idea. We got to find a copy of this video. So I guess we'll follow this up. They've been arrested. Oh, no, it's charged. Were they arrested? I guess not. But if you go to their YouTube, it's not taken down. You can still look at their stupid videos. Just not this one. This one's been taken down, apparently. It's just a joke. I'm not really a bank robber. Just kidding. Jeez. All right. Speaking of teens who got arrested for things. Florida teen arrested as a mastermind of a Twitter hack. A Florida teen was identified Friday. This is very recent. As the mastermind of a scheme earlier this month that commandeered Twitter accounts of prominent politicians, celebrities, and technology moguls and scammed people around the globe of more than $100,000 in Bitcoin. Two other men are also charged in the case. Graham Evan Clark, he's only 17. He was arrested Friday in Tampa, where the Hillsborough State Attorney's Office will prosecute him as an adult. He faces 30 felony charges, according to a news release. Two men accused of benefiting from the hack, blah, 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 were charged separately. This is one of the most high-profile security breaches in recent years. So we're going to go, and I'm going to read this article here, How the FBI Tracked Down the Twitter Hackers. Earlier today, U.S. law enforcement charged three individuals with the recent Twitter hack. With the help of court documents released by the DOJ, we've been able to piece together a timeline of the hack and how U.S. investigators tracked down the three suspected hackers. Boom, boom, boom. All right. This was actually pretty big. A few months ago, it was like Elon Musk's Twitter was just posting, like, send me Bitcoin or send a Bitcoin to this account. According to court documents, the entire hack appears to have begun on May 3rd. Clark, a teen from Tampa living in California, gained access to a portion of Twitter's network. He says he willingly, unknowingly, and without authorization caused a computer, computer system, computer network, and electronic device used by Twitter, blah, 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 blah. Here, the timeline gets murky. It's unclear what happened between May 3rd and July 15th, the day of the actual hack, but it appears that Clark wasn't immediately able to pivot from his initial entry point to the Twitter admin tool that he later used to take over accounts. So he got access to, like, the back end. He didn't hack people's passwords. He somehow got access to the back end of Twitter where you could maybe, like, reset passwords or post to people's accounts when you're not them. Reporting from the New York Times days after the Twitter hack suggests that Clark initially gained access to one of Twitter's internal Slack workspaces, but not to Twitter itself. New York Times reporters, citing sources from the hacking community, said that the hacker found credentials for one of Twitter's tech support tools pinned to one of the company's Slack channels. Amazing. Images of this tool, which allowed Twitter employees to control all facets of a Twitter account, later leaked online on the day of the hack. The credentials for this tool weren't enough, though, to access the Twitter backend. This is probably, is this boring? This is kind of interesting from a technical perspective. In a Twitter blog post detailing the company's investigation into the hack, they said the accounts for the administrative backend were protected by two-factor authentication. It's unclear how much time it took Clark to do it, but the same Twitter investigation says the hacker used a phone spear phishing attack to trick some of his employees and gain access to their accounts, getting through Twitter's two-factor protections. So two-factor authentication is where you type in your password in a website and it says, oh, I'm going to send you a code, right? Which is normally fine. Like, that means you have your phone, like you have your password, plus someone would have to have your phone in order to get into your account. But what they do, these stupid hackers, is they type your password and then they immediately call you. And they say, oh, hey, it's me from Twitter. I'm just trying to confirm your account here. And what I did was I sent you a code to your phone just to confirm that this really still is your phone that's tied to this account. Can you just read me back that code real quick? It'll just confirm your account. It's no problem. You can go right back to your drinking tonight. I'm so sorry to bother you off hours. We're just trying to confirm some accounts today. If you just want to read me that code, it'd be freaking sweet, and we'd be fine, and I won't even bother you again. You can even take tomorrow off if you want. So the person on the other end goes, oh, sure, I'm drunk. I'll just read you the code. Okay, yeah, I did get that text that you just sent me. Sweet. Yeah, it's 234228. And they're like, great, thank you for confirming your account. So the hacker types in the code on the website, and they have it, right? So that's how they get it. Chat logs from Discord say that this guy talked to some other guys. He approached two other users from the Discord channel, a forum dedicated to hackers selling and buying social media accounts. Chat logs, Clark approached two other hackers and claimed to work at Twitter. He proved his claims by modifying the settings of an account owned by one of the people and also told Fazeli access to the foreign at foreign Twitter account. I'm running out of steam here. This is crazy. So he goes on Discord. He hooks up with some other hackers. He convinced these other two hackers of his level of access. The three struck a deal to post ads on the OG users forum to promote Clark's ability to hijack Twitter accounts. So they started selling this guy's on the dark web. They were selling his ability to hack into Twitter. Following these ads, it is believed that multiple people bought access to Twitter accounts. In a recorded message posted on YouTube by the Executive Office for United States Attorneys, investigators say they are still looking into multiple users who participated in the attack. So it's like a Silk Road style thing. We're like, I'm going to buy access on the dark web to people's Twitter accounts. It is believed that one of these parties is responsible for buying access to celebrity verified Twitter accounts on July 15th and posting the cryptocurrency scam message. The message went to Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Bill Gates even, holy crap, Elon Musk, Bezos, Apple, Uber, Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, like these are the most famous people on earth, asking users to send Bitcoin to several addresses. Court documents say hackers operating wallets used in this scam received 12.83 Bitcoin. Is that it? Or around $117,000. All right, so this kid's 17 years old only, and he is now arrested. So we'll see what's going to happen, and I will forget to look this up. All right, let's see. Is there any more news that you guys want to cover? We are still a little early. We could do another thing here. New Jersey landlord allegedly demanded sexual favors in exchange for housing, the Fed said. This is news posting today, but it's been happening for quite a while. The U.S. Justice Department filed a lawsuit against a New Jersey landlord Wednesday alleging the man, who owns hundreds of rental units in and around Elizabeth. Wow. I don't know why you gotta like circle all your units around one girl, sexually harassed tenants and applicants, including demanding sexual favors in exchange for housing, for more than a decade. Maybe this isn't the greatest story to end on. I don't know. The complaint alleges that Joseph Santani of Mountainside used his portion of the property owner to allegedly sexually harass tenants and prospective tenants on multiple occasions. The only reason I flag this as a possible story is because we have the actual suit. Right. In 2019, a female tenant approached Santani about anticipated difficulty in paying her rent. He offered to connect her to rental assistance and asked what she would do for him in exchange. He then brought her to an empty apartment. There, he asked her for a massage and exposed himself. He then subjected her to unwanted sexual touching by using his hands to move both of hers to touch his testicles. Oh, wait, hang on. He then subjected her to unwanted sexual touching by using his hands to move both of hers to touch his testicles and penis, and she said the words to the effect of no and don't do that. After this incident, Santani helped the tenant apply for rental assistance. In another example in 2019, a female tenant who had agreed to move out approached him and asked him if she could stay because she was having a hard time finding a new apartment. He asked her the words of, "How bad do you want your apartment?" and took her to an empty storage room. There, he exposed himself and asked for oral sex. Because she felt like she had no choice, the tenant submitted to his sexual demand. After this incident, he allowed her to stay in the apartment. This is boring. I don't freaking know. I gotta end the show. Let's see what the chat has to say. Did you get a tan? Says it looks like you look orange on the TV. Hmm, that could just be the poor lighting in this room or the fact that, I don't know, it flashes off my screen. Buy Bitcoin, the chat says. Silver, guns, and ammo. Well, they're very high right now, but you think they're going to go much higher? Eric says to buy seeds, but thanks to China, we don't need them now. All right. This has been News with Nick. It's been an hour or so. Want to end the show? We can end it. All right. I'm out of stories. Head on over to the website, though. It is newswithnick.com. I did not plug it at the beginning of the show. If you want to watch the video version of the show, it is there. And you can see me mess up the start of the show. You can see me spill beers. The video version of the show is unedited. It is from the start, if I remember to start it, to the end. If I have to take a break, if I missay something, if a cat throws up, that happened once. Then it just happens right on the video version, not the audio version. At newswithnick.com, type your phone number into the box in the upper right or upper left or wherever the box happens to be. If you're not smart enough to find it, then I still want you to listen to the show because I love all people of all brains, right? Type your phone number in. Get text updates when new shows are going to go live or are posted on the website. Read race results. That there are no races because of that corona. So I hear we're going to have some races coming up. I've read about how they're doing this. They're lining people up and everyone starts like a second apart. I think they're making this up as they go. There's no way that I'm going to a running race and we're all going to line up 6 feet apart. And then I'm going to let some guy get a 1 second advantage on me. And now you might say, oh, it doesn't matter. It's from the time you cross the start line to the time you cross the finish line. But that'd be crazy. And the reason they do this for like winners or top 10 or whatever in major races is it's not based on the time. It's based on like who crosses the finish line first, because that would be insane. If you're watching the Boston Marathon and you got two guys running, right? And one finishes and then one finishes 2 seconds after, but then you go, but no, the guy in back started 3 seconds later and he tricked the guy in front into thinking he was behind, right? So that's why they don't do that. If you're actually competitive in a race, you can't be starting 6 feet apart from each other. All right. Thanks for coming to the show, everybody. Head on over to the website. I don't know. Thanks for coming. Bye.